A reading from the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show his servants what must happen soon. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who gives witness to the word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, by reporting what he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud, and blessed are those who listen to this prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. I heard the Lord saying to me, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write this. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands says this. I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate the wicked. You have tested those who call themselves apostles but are not, and discovered that they are impostors. Moreover, you have endurance, and have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have lost the love you had at first. Realize how far you have fallen. Repent, and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. The Word of the Lord. I grew up in a household with Italian immigrant grandparents, and they had a lot of colorful expressions. One of them, when it was translated for me, said this, "The fish begins to stink at the head." And I knew they weren't talking about fish in the ocean. The fish begins to stink at the head. It was one of those peasant sayings, and it was applied in a lot of different ways. Depends upon what issue came to mind. Maybe it was about political leaders. Maybe it was about an incident at school or in our family, or even in the church. It was never applicable, those sayings, to just one situation. They were very adaptable. You didn't have to be a genius either to translate them and figure them out. Today we're beginning a series of readings from the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations reminds me of some of those early peasant sayings of my grandparents. The book of Revelations, it does have within it extravagant symbolic expressions. The one we hear today from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. And there are symbols from everyday life in this passage, too. A reference to the one who stands at the door and knocks. I think we can figure out who that is. John says he gets his message from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Doesn't take a Bible scholar to apply that one. Those symbols in the book of Revelations meant something to the people of John's day. The original readers got their significance because the symbols were either biblical, and they knew the Bible, or they came from current events. And current events for that church were harsh. The book of Revelations was written to a persecuted church under the Emperor Domitian. There was a major persecution in the year 95. The Romans claimed that their emperors were gods, and of course Christians didn't believe that. And they wouldn't burn incense at their altars. And so they were persecuted. The book of Revelation was written to give comfort and encouragement to people under persecution, to affirm Christians in their belief. And it called upon them not to give in to the world around them. The book of Revelations is really about a struggle against great forces that make us feel puny and insignificant. It tells us a lot, the book, about the end of the world. Because to the Christians of John's day who were suffering, those Christians were looking forward to the end of the world. And the book assures them that when the end comes, good will triumph. I used to visit maximum security blocks in a prison in California. And among the prisoners, there were some who read the Bible, and the book of Revelations was a favorite book of theirs. It's a favorite book of people who are in dire circumstances of any kind. They would, as those inmates did, receive comfort from Revelation. It says, in effect, bad things are going to end, and good, despite current appearances, good will triumph. Today's reading from the book of Revelation reports a vision to servant John, and he encourages, heed what is written, for the appointed time is near. That would be good news, an end to suffering. You can speak about endings in a bad way, but you can speak about endings in a good way too, not as a threat, but endings as a comfort, an end to persecution, an end to trial and suffering. If God is in charge, the implication in the book of Revelation is, then endings are not to be feared, but to be looked forward to. And so Revelation, saying that the end is near, suggests that we look around to see what needs tending in our lives. It may not only mean that we need to say more prayers, but pay more attention to our relationships, to our way of living in the world. Early Christians from the book were not to accommodate themselves to pagan gods. They were meant to take on the suffering or sacrifice if it required, not to give in to accommodation. The question we could ask ourselves now, because the book still speaks to us, is, have we accommodated ourselves to the world around us? For example, our world is very materialistic. How do we evaluate our lives? By how much we have? How do we evaluate the lives and the worth of other people? By how much they have? Do we say, as the world often does in our culture, if you can afford it, why not have it? Despite what our materialism does to our environment, despite that while we can have more, many have less. The writer of Revelation isn't making a blanket condemnation. He congratulates the church at Ephesus for its endurance and its suffering for the name of Christ. And still, he challenges it. He says, you have lost the love you had at first. It's a long journey for that church and for ourselves. When times are hard, it feels very long. We can grow tired. We can grow weary in time of trial. We can also ignore the other travelers who are with us, as we tend to look to our own needs. Revelation calls us to renewal, to repent, to work with the enthusiasm we had in the beginning, it says. Today's the feast of St. Albert the great Dominican. He's an example to us of what the book of Revelation says and refers to. He's a light on the lampstand. He was a light on the lampstand of the medieval church, and still for us today, especially because of the growing division that exists in our day between religion and science. Albert, besides being a great philosopher and theologian, had a considerable knowledge of the physical sciences, botany, chemistry, zoology, physics, to name just a few. 800 years ago, Albert argued for the peaceful coexistence of religion and science. And these days, when some Christians are speaking very publicly against people who practice the Muslim faith, Albert's star still shines. He was a prophetic voice from our past because of his studies of Arabic. He was open to dialogue and to the search for truth wherever he found it. inspired by Albert the Great's open mind and brilliance, and borrowing from some of the images that are presented to us today in the Book of Revelation, we could pray this day. We could pray, renew the lampstand, O God, that burns within me. And may I be a lampstand to the world around, holding a bright light that is Jesus Christ. Help me have and keep your priorities in mind. Give me your vision to help me distinguish truth from illusion. And since Revelation was written to the Church of Ephesus, a church community, today we could pray for healing to come quickly to our wounded church. We could pray for our leadership and laity that they would work together for renewal, that we all might hear John's call this day to repent. We pray this day, too, for a younger generation who, unlike some of us, don't have a long history and ties to our church, that they might not be turned away or turned off, but might discover in our ancestors like Albert the Great and in contemporary church faithful, that they might discover holy lampstands giving light and direction to a dark world.